It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18 plus. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
It's nice to be back in front of you.
Los Angeles.
Actually in the same room together.
LA welcomes you home.
I can see your face when I make a sarcastic comment and your eyes roll out of your head and across the table.
As it's meant to be.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop. On Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got news about Post Malone, Lil Nas X, J. Cole, and more. Plus, we'll be reviewing some of our favorite unlikely collaborations of the past, spurred in part by the new Mason Ramsey and Young Thug remix of Lil Nas X's Old Town Road.
What's unlikely about that?
Nothing. 2019, it's the year of nothing surprising anymore. And among those tunes that we'll be talking about include tracks by David Bowie and Mariah Carey.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Katie, we've mentioned at the top of the show how we're back together for the first time after a couple weeks, because I was in London for a little bit and you were here, which is still exotic. But we haven't really properly caught up. We literally have not properly caught up about anything that we've been doing the past few weeks. And though this is not scripted, it's completely unscripted. I do know that both of us saw big concerts over the weekend.
Yes, we did.
You saw Paul McCartney at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, I did.
I saw Kylie Minogue at Edinburgh Castle in
Edinburgh, Scotland.
So first, Paul, I want to know everything about it. Were these like comp tickets to cover for?
I reviewed the show.
You reviewed the show.
Billboard.com.
Well, I haven't read the story yet.
Have you seen Paul before? This is my fourth time seeing Paul McCartney.
I've never seen him.
Oh my God. Okay. You probably should have been at this one.
I know. Oh my God. He's such a bucket list.
Gail is really sad she wasn't at it. Our colleague Gail was very jealous that I went. It was unbelievable. This is the second proper full Paul McCartney concert I've ever seen. I took my mom when I was in college because she's a massive Beatles fan. My parents both. My mom was like, you know, OG Beatlemania, you know, adored them fan. My dad was like psychedelic, like rock and roll area era, like Beatles fan.
Didn't you say that your mom saw the Beatles live?
Oh, yeah. She saw them in the 60s. Yeah.
That's
like a county fair or something, a state fair.
That's not something anyone can really say.
No. She saw them back in the day. So she like made me a fan. This concert could not have been any more just like insane. He played 38 songs.
Were they like medleys?
No. 38 songs, 3 hours long. He's 77 years old.
Oh.
And of those 38 songs, 22 were Beatles songs.
Wow.
And we all know he has an amazing catalog as a solo artist with Wings. Like, there is plenty. And obviously, his current.
He has an album
out that came out in September.
Number one of the Billboard 200, by the way. I interviewed Paul last year about
it. Yes, you did.
Anyway, back to Katie.
No, but, like, it was like, everything he did, like, could not have been more epic.
Wow.
And he joked about, you know, how fans want to hear the old stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
you know, he did play four songs off the new album. Oh. And went right before he played Fu You, which was the lead single from the album, right before he played that, he said that, you know, when we play a Beatles songs, you know, I look out, all your phones are glowing. It's like a galaxy of stars. And when I play one of the new songs, it's like a black hole. And so, but then, of course, people proved him wrong and held up their phones for the next song.
I mean, you know, to be in that position where you've had so many albums and you are on tour, frankly, in support of the new music, and you as an artist are still excited about new music. You want the people to experience that excitement with you.
Yes.
And also, frankly, some of the songs on the new album, like I was really, like I asked him about them. So I'll have to check the set list on your story. I was really kind of eager to see like which songs he did.
Well, I can tell you, he did Fu You, but he also did Who Cares, which he talked about like being about bullying beforehand, and then he did Come On to Me. But yeah, no, it was just
amazing.
It was great. And then I haven't even said during the encore he brings out Ringo friggin' Starr. I mean, the only two living Beatles are on stage in front of me.
And that's not exactly a common occurrence.
No, you know what's crazy? He did this also, I want to say it was 2014, when they did a taping of the Ed Sullivan anniversary show. It was like 50 years after the Ed Sullivan show, I think, in 2014. I was there, and that was the first time that they'd performed together in like decades. And then the last time they performed together before Saturday Night was that time.
So what did they do in the encore?
They did, so Ringo did two songs with Paul. They did the Sgt. Pepper reprise, the show ending lyrics. And then they did Helter Skelter, of all things.
Wow.
Which is one of the like, you know, most hard rock Beatles songs. And it was insane, crazy light show for it. And then Joe Walsh comes out too.
Sure, throwing an eagle.
And you know, as if you listen to this, I'm obsessed with the Eagles. Joe Walsh came out for the end from Abbey Road, where there's a big guitar breakdown, and basically Paul, his two guitarists on stage, and Joe did like a riff off, like trading riffs with each other. Like, my mind was like blown. Dan, I was speechless. Like, I was freaking out so much.
And you had pretty good seats, I guess?
We were in the 19th row on the floor.
Oh, wow. So you didn't have to look at the screens or anything.
I mean, I did. It's funny. Like, even when you're
that
on the
close,
floor,
you're still...
it's still nicest to look at the screen, but then you can look at the stage and see the spectacle and actually see Paul too.
What did they open with and what did he close with?
Okay, open with Hard Day's Night.
Oh, well, oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then the close thing was the three-song suite from Abbey Road that starts with Golden Slumbers, then it goes into Carry That Weight, and then the end, appropriately,
oh,
the end.
The actual end of the show was the end?
Yeah, which was the Joe Walsh thing. And then, I mean, the last lyric of the song, which I think they've been doing the end as the last song of every stop of the Freshen Up Tour. This was the last stop of it. The final lyric is, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make, which is just a beautiful note to end the show on. It was just
unreal. I thought they would have ended with, you posted a video of Live and Let Die. I thought maybe they would have ended with like a big pyro
They actually, thing. So they sandwiched Live and Let Die between Let It Be and Hey Jude to end the show properly.
Oh, okay, to end it before the encore.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. And when you guys. When I saw you posted that, I was like, oh, my God, if I were in LA, I would have totally tried to go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so Kylie. This is a great, crazy thing, too, because, like, the Beatles are, like, you know, that was, like, the first, like, music I ever got into as a kid. It's like my favorite thing. It's like everything leads back to the Beatles. Like Oasis was my favorite band as a teenager because I love the Beatles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kylie is like one of your like,
yeah, weirdly,
you know, people.
Weirdly, I counted up and I think I've now seen Kylie Minogue more than I've seen any other artist.
Whoa.
Which is
so
weird.
What are we talking about? Like how many times?
I think this was my sixth time.
Ah, that's awesome.
So I saw her at Edinburgh Castle, which is this, you know, zillions year old castle in Edinburgh, Scotland, on the top of a hill, and at the other end of the hill is where the Queen summers in a residence. I mean, it's just that sort of ridiculous. It's just this beautiful outdoor venue in the esplanade outside of a castle. It was just nothing but the hits. Mm. Just hits, 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 hits. And I just saw her last year for her Golden Tour in support of her most recent studio album, Golden. And I saw her at the O2 in London. Mm-hmm. And it was like a tour that was in support of a new album. So like half the show was new songs. And it had sort of a more kind of storyline and was a little bit more thematic, as Kylie sort of does. I mean, there were like hits. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, it was, geared more towards like a kind of a core Kylie fan with flirtations of stuff that people know.
Yeah.
This one was just like a crowd pleaser. Mm. Like every song was like a hit. Now, granted, she is doing this. She's doing like a series of like shows this summer. I think maybe like
she just came off Glastonbury
she
too.
Played Glastonbury, which was very similar to what I saw, but Glastonbury had a shorter set.
Right.
That was more like maybe like an hour, and this, and we had like an hour and a half. But I mean, it was just hit after hit after hit. Like The Locomotion, I Should Be So Lucky, Can't Get You Out of My Head, Slow, Spinning Around, Kids, New Stuff, oh. Old Stuff, you know, everything. And it was just fun.
Yeah.
It was just like fun. And it was just such a great time. And she's just like this effervescent, fizzy pop princess. Yeah. Where you're just like, you walk in, I'm going to have a great time. You walk out, I feel good.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I counted up and I've seen her. The first time I saw her, I think, was at the O2 in London for the Aphrodite Les Folies tour, where she had all these like water fountains fly out of the stage.
Oh,
and it was just so over the top. And I'm like, you have to see this. And then that show came to the Hollywood Bowl here in Los Angeles, but without all the water features, because that just wasn't going to travel to America. Then I saw her again at the Bowl a little bit later. Then I saw her at Hyde Park
for
British Summertime Festival, mm-hmm. when her support acts were Chic and Nile Rodgers and Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Then I saw her again at the O2 last year, and then now this year. And Madonna, I think I've seen like 5 times.
Wow, that's what I was going to ask. I figured she was the next closest.
In terms of the acts that I've seen the most, Kylie, I think, is the most. And then Madonna and the Rolling Stones, I think I've seen like maybe 5 times.
See, now, for me, you haven't seen Paul. I've never seen the Rolling Stones.
Oh, God, my God.
I told Gail, unfortunately, they're coming to the Rose Bowl next month.
Yeah.
And it's when I'm out of town.
Oh, crap.
I know. Because I definitely, I mean, like, this legit could be their final tour with Mixed Health. I mean, we'll see, but.
Well.
Oh, my God. We just went on a real tangent.
So that entire, like, 8-minute tangent, people, is going to substitute in for our chart stat of the week this week.
Yeah, sorry.
So for fans of the chart stat, you just got me and Katie talking a lot about shows that we just saw this past weekend.
But what about the chart chat?
But let's do the chart chat. So first up, on the Billboard 200 albums chart, the Revenge of the Dreamers 3 compilation debuts at number 1, earning 115,000 equivalent album units in the U.S., in the week ending July 11th, of course, according to Nielsen Music. The 18-track hip-hop project boasts the Dreamville Records label roster of acts, including Dreamville chief J. Cole on 8 songs. In addition, more than 25 other guests from outside of the Dreamville ranks are featured on the album.
Is this J. Cole making up for the fact that he always talks about himself being like number one with no features?
With no features?
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's
by
like,
the
how
way,
about 25 of them?
How about a whole bunch more? yeah, on the album, you've got like Ty Dolla $ign, DaBaby, and T.I., among many, many others. A lot of people, a lot of which are not super familiar to like sort of casual pop fans, but if like you're a hip hop head, you'll know who these people are. And the tracks were recorded during a 10-day session in January, where more than 100 artists and producers were invited to write and record songs for the album. Yeah. Next week, watch for another album with a million guests to enter number 1. As industry forecasters expect Ed Sheeran's new album, Number 6 Collaborations Projects, collaboration project, just rolls off the tongue, starts atop the tally. I'm having a really hard time reading this for some reason. The 15-song album finds Sheeran joined by the likes of Camila Cabello, Ella May, Eminem, Skrillex, Bruno Mars, Chris Stapleton, 50 Cent,
Khalid, Justin Bieber.
Just everyone. Anyone and everyone. Next up, over on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus holds tight atop the tally for a 15th week. Just 15. It is only the 3rd single in the nearly 61-year history of the Hot 100, which launched in 1958, to spend 15 weeks at number 1. If it spends a 16th week at number 1, it will take the all-time record, will tie the all-time record for the most weeks at number 1, shared by One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, and Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber.
So is it going to get the 16th week, right?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the song has a healthy lead over the number two single this week, which is Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, it seems that Camp Old Town Road isn't taking any chances. Old Town Road, sing that song.
Doo-dah.
Yeah. Camp Town Braces. Okay, anyway. Last week, Lil Nas X dropped a new remix of Old Town featuring Young Thug and 12-year-old yodeling phenom Mason Ramsey. Sure. talk about a collaboration you would only see in 2019. Lil Nas X, Billy Ray Cyrus, Young Thug, and Mason Ramsey on a track which interpolates a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah, of course. Well, Billie Eilish, for her part, her single continues to gain steam and perhaps owed to how Old Town Road is declining a bit in Hot 100 points, though still ahead by quite a bit, she put out her own remix of Bad Guy with her teen idol Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I mean that whole thing where like the cover of the single artwork for the new version of Bad Guy, which has Justin on it, is a picture of Billie in her room as
like a tween Billie
with
in
posters.
A dance costume with Justin Bieber posters just filling her walls.
It's hilarious.
And were you sort of disappointed that she put this out? It was at noon on Thursday.
Yeah, I was. I thought for sure to maximize their sort of Hot 100 chances, they would wait until Friday.
Yeah.
But I guess it was just because Australia and New Zealand had already turned over their stores and it was already Friday there. And that's why it posted when it did.
Well,
but yeah.
In light of all these new versions of Hot 100 hits and how unusual it is to see the words Mason Ramsey and Young Thug, let me try it again.
Young Thug
together on a song. We thought we'd take a look at some of our favorite unlikely collaborations that have become hits.
And we see these particular collaborations as unlikely, as they usually marry artists who maybe from, like, say, different genres or appeal to particularly different fan bases or perhaps ages.
And we're restricting our list to proper studio recorded collaborations, not the one-off awards show pairings that we've come to know and love, like Eminem pairing with Elton John at the Grammy Awards for a performance of Stan, for instance.
Yeah, and this list is not exhaustive, of course. There are many more to discuss. But let's start with Barbra Streisand and Donna Summer, No More Tears, Enough is Enough, which was released in 1979. Apparently, at the urging of some friends and confidants of Streisand, including her son, Jason, Summer was invited to lunch at Streisand's home in Malibu, where the two heard the demo recording of Enough is Enough for the first time. Summer was, of course, already the queen of disco in 1979. I mean, she was Bad Girls and Hot Stuff and Dim All the Lights and, you know, all that stuff. But Streisand, who had been really known for, like, you know, Broadway and ballads and,
standard
and all that, had actually just had some success with like a dance number with the main event, Fight. So, you know, the pairing wasn't exactly completely unusual, but still it wasn't necessarily expected.
It feels less unusual now. Looking back, you're like, oh yeah, two divas of a certain era.
Yeah, yeah,
that
sure.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Two divas with incredible voices. Why not put them together on a song?
Yeah.
Well, the track ended up being a huge hit, spending 2 weeks at number one on the Hot 100, became a top 20 hit on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart. Sadly, Barbara and Donna never actually sang the song live together. Mm. Despite its success, and we will actually, of course, never hear the song together with them now because Donna, of course, passed away in 2012.
Well, moving on next, we have Bing Crosby and David Bowie's Christmas mashup song, Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy. In 1977, Bing invited Bowie to record the Christmas song for Crosby's final holiday special. The song was credited with helping to kind of normalize the eclectic career of David Bowie at
eclectic's
the time.
Eclectic's a nice word of calling it, yeah.
You know, and kind of making him, you know, like, palatable for an older generation, perhaps.
Right.
Well, Bowie later said that he did it because he said of Bing Crosby, "I just knew my mother liked him."
Sure.
Which is really sweet.
That's sweet.
So the song was recorded in September 1977 for the holiday special of that year, and Bing actually passed away in that following October, just over a month later.
Oh, wow.
Which Keith and I did not realize that researching. And though it was never on the Hot 100, it's a holiday favorite that has hit a number of our seasonal charts, and it also peaked at number 3 on the UK singles chart.
Here's one that's a little bit more recent. In 2017, we got Bebe Rexha and Florida Georgia Line's Meant to Be. Really, it's a song like this that exemplifies where music is in the past few years, and especially 2019. It's a song that bridges two different genres, sort of the pop stylings of Bebe Rexha and a core country act like the duo Florida Georgia Line. Of course, Florida Georgia Line is also known for collaborating outside of their genre, like on Cruise featuring Nelly, who's a hip-hop star, or on Let Me Go with dance act Alesso and pop singer Hailee Steinfeld. Meant to Be was clearly meant to be a huge hit. It ended up spending a record 50 weeks at number one on the Hot Country Songs chart.
Whoa.
And was a top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100.
And I feel like something similar-ish to that was Zedd and Maren Morris teaming up for The Middle.
Yeah.
Though Maren went, like, she sounds very pop
on
the song.
It's full-on pop.
It's a full-on pop song, and she just happens to be a country star who sang it. But, yeah, you know. Okay, next up we have the aforementioned Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. They actually teamed up two times. First for The Girl Is Mine from MJ's 1982 classic Thriller, and then for Say 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 for Paul's 1983 album Pipes of Peace, though I learned that they were recorded at the same time with George Martin in the same session.
Which is your favorite of the two?
I think we've talked about this before.
My favorite, Say Say Say.
I don't like the songs.
Either one of them?
I love Paul McCartney.
Oh, wow.
And of course, Michael Jackson's music is classic, but I'm not a big fan of these songs.
Okay, well.
So there's that. So The Girl's Mine peaked at number two on the Hot 100, while Say 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 went all the way to number one. So the people agreed with you.
Yeah.
Of course, the duo never reteamed because of their infamous bad blood over Michael buying the Beatles catalog out from under Paul in 1985. Next up. It now seems very commonplace for Mariah Carey to work with rappers, but in 1995, when Old Dirty Bastard hopped on Fantasy for a remix, it was sort of unexpected. According to the internet, her label Columbia even worried that the remix would be a little left field for Mariah's fans, and there was even a version where they remixed it. It was a Bad Boy remix, but they took out the ODB verse because they're like, ODB is a step too far for Mariah music. But the song is absolutely incredible and has one of my favorite ODB lines of all time, which is, me and Mariah go back like babies and pacifiers.
You have to say it, me and Mariah
go back like babies and pacifiers.
Yeah.
Fantasy was, of course, one of Mariah's record 18 number ones on the Hot 100. No surprise there.
Well, years before this, we had Julio Iglesias and Willie Nelson with To All the Girls I've Loved Before. Back before there was Despacito, we had Julio and Willie. As the story goes, Willie heard Julio on the radio in, I think, London sometime in 1983, liked what he heard, but didn't really know about Julio. And Willie's wife said maybe they should do a song together. So the two connected, and Willie evidently did not know anything about Julio's career at the time. Didn't realize that Julio was like this mega global superstar in the Latin world and had sold tons and tons of music. He's like, didn't even know. Well, the two connected and recorded To All the Girls I've Loved Before, and the pairing proved to be sweet music to fans' ears. The song hit number five on the Hot 100, number one on the Hot Country Songs chart, and number three on the Adult Contemporary chart. Further, Willie and Julio won the Country Music Association, aka the CMA, award for Vocal Duo of the Year.
Wow.
While the song was nominated for Single of the Year.
It's really incredible that Julio has a CMA.
Yeah. And Katie thought of a sort of a fun collaboration that didn't actually sort of produce like a hit single, but
we'll give it an honorable mention.
Yeah.
To Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, who of course recorded an entire jazzy duets album, Cheek to Cheek. Though none of its songs charted on the Hot 100, the album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200.
So that counts for something.
It counts.
Yeah.
For the record, Gaga has now recorded songs with The Muppets and Tony Bennett, of course, not to mention Beyonce and Bradley Cooper, her A Star Is Born partner,
yeah,
and many other people.
And many other
She's
people.
She's a collaborative
Colby
artist.
Colby O'Donis.
We just won't mention R. Kelly.
Right. You just did. What would even be unlikely anymore? Like Metallica with Ariana Grande? I don't know. Like, what would be weird in 2019?
I mean, yes, Metallica and Ariana Grande would be weird.
Metallica and Lady Gaga sang together on the Grammys.
That's
once.
True. And we mentioned, when we were talking about this, we brought up Jay-Z and Linkin Park.
Which at the time, I think, was a little unusual.
It was unusual, but it also made all the sense in the world because rap rock in general had become a thing. Like Limp Bizkit and, you know, and then like Fred Durst and Method Man and that sort of thing.
Right.
But the fact that such a like hip-hop artist came together with such a just core rock band and then,
Barbra Streisand and Major Lazer.
go.
Johnny Mathis and... friend of the podcast, Johnny Mathis, and Skrillex.
How about Darren Criss covering Dave Matthews Band with Steve Aoki?
Oh,
that's
you don't
an actual
say.
Song.
That's an actual song.
That was an actual song released Friday.
Okay, so that's the end of our big shoe. What song should we go out on?
Oh, what weird collaboration should we go out on?
Let's go out with something that maybe wasn't necessarily an unexpected collaboration.
Oh, just like, expected?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, like Lady Marmalade by, you know, Pink, Maya.
Never going to turn down an opportunity.
Little Kim and Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.